أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم الحمد لله رب العالمين بارئ الخلائق أجمعين ثم الصلاة والسلام على سيدنا ونبينا ومولانا وحبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا وشفيع ذنوبنا أبي القاسم مصطفى محمد صلى الله عليه وآله أجمعين وأصحابه المنتجبين ولعنة الله على أعدائهم ومنكر فضائلهم وغاصب حقوقهم من الآن إلى لقاء يوم الدين أما بعد قال الله تعالى في كتابه الحكيم يا أيها الرسول بلغ ما أنزل إليك من ربك وإن لم تفعل فما بلغت رسالته والله يعصمك من الناس In the name of Allah, the most merciful, the most gracious. Respectable audience, Assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. By the grace and will of Almighty Allah, we are going to continue our speech on the most significant and important message and matter of Islam, that is, leadership and successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. When our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household was amongst his companions and was alive, indeed all the people, when they encountered difficulties, hardships, somewhat disagreements with one another, they usually and mostly they referred to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So referring to the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household was the final point. And he was the last who judged and who could give the last verdict for them that they have to finish and end up their disagreements. Or for example, whenever they face somewhat questions regarding the Islamic jurisprudence or Islamic verdicts, Islamic principles, indeed they were coming near our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. And was ending up to their difficulties and hardships or their questions. So, abstractly talking, our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, during his lifetime, could solve the problems, the entire difficulties the companions and the people faced with. So, after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the most significant issue that who has to solve this problem or who has to be the authority whose verdict should be the last and whose verdict should play the last alternative and solution for the Muslims, not only for the companions but also for the people. Not only for the people but also for those who are coming from abroad, from foreign or from very remote districts and vicinities in order to attain and acquire Islamic religious issues. So this is the question, that who has to have this position, who deserves to sit on the position where our Holy Prophet has sat for too many years, at least for 23 years after his prophetic mission. So there are two important theories about the leadership and successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. One of them is relevant to the Shiites, and the next one is relevant to the Sunni brothers. According to the Shiites' intellectual leadership and successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is a divine position. It means that it is one of the positions that determined by Almighty Allah. It has to be selected by Almighty Allah's will and by Almighty Allah's pleasure. And the one who is chosen, or the one who is to be chosen for this important position and status, he has to be the most efficient of the Islamic Ummah. He has to be the most knowledgeable personality and the most knowledgeable figure amongst all. For he is going to sit on the position, and he is going to reserve the position that Almighty Allah's Apostle Muhammad, peace be upon him, has reserved for 23 years. So he is going to describe the Islamic religious issues. So he has to be the most efficient, he has to be the most knowledgeable personality amongst the people. You know that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is the pioneer of the religion. And he is the one on whom Almighty Allah revealed the revelation on him, or the book has been revealed on him. Though Imam, or the leader after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is not having those status of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but again, having the governmental status, having the position that he has to describe the religious issues for the people, he has to have and he has to acquire some other attitudes of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. For this, that there were some improper conditions during the lifetime of our Holy Prophet, that some of the religious issues were not handled. Not in the sense that the religion was incomplete, no. In the sense that some issues were raised after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that at the time of our Holy Prophet, those issues were not at the top of the issues, though the people were not very much heedful of those issues and matters. So when these new issues came into existence, so the optimal religious verdicts in accordance to these issues must be issued from the religious authority. So the leader, the successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, has to be of the most knowledgeable. For he is describing, for he is issuing the verdicts, for he is the one who says that this is the truth, this is not true, this is false, this is not false. So there were too many elements, there were too many issues that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had to be heedful of. One of them was the leadership that our Holy Prophet had to choose. Our Holy Prophet had to declare the divine determination and the divine will that who has to be the leader for the Muslim Ummah. It was the Shia's point of view that indeed the Muslims are to be equipped with the most knowledgeable figure, with the most pious one amongst them, and he is the leader. So according to the Shias, this task has been done by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. According to the Shias, not only the Imam or the leader is the governor of the Muslim Ummah, not only he is the executor of the rules and regulations, not only he is the protector of the Islamic instructions, not only he is the guardian of the borders of Islamic domain, but also he is the one who shed lights on those vague and obscure places that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, because of some certain conditions, could not describe those important issues. So Imam alayhi salam has this status amongst the Shi'ites, that he has to have these qualities. And he has to have these characteristics. But according to the Sunni brothers of ours, they do not believe that the caliph and the successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he should be the one who has to be infallible, who has to have those status such as the Prophet had. Rather, according to our Sunni brothers, this status or the leadership is a very ordinary, typical, a normal position, and the only objective and goal he has to meet and has to try to acquire, that is the security, that is safeguarding from the Islamic borders and the rest of the typical and normal matters he has to acquire and has to fulfill them. And there is no need that he has to be of the most pious, he has to be of the most knowledgeable personality amongst all. No, there is no need. So these two approaches were found amongst the companions of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. And the segregation or the difference between the companions of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household were found. And still this difference between the people and between the Islamic Ummah is continuing. And still it lasts. So it should not be accused or it should not be blamed that this is of the accusations, this is of those things that the Shiites have fabricated or the Shiites made it them some new thing or they have innovated. No, this difference that who has to be the leader and who has to come and sit on the position Almighty Allah's Apostle Muhammad peace upon him has sat for 23 years. So this was the matter that the companions of our Holy Prophet themselves made different approaches.
This is the Call of Islam.
And you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
So, abstractly talking, there are two approaches about successorship to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, or the leadership after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him and his household. The first is this, that the successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should be chosen by the people. And it is of those ordinary, and it is of those typical issues that the Muslims can decide themselves. Directly, they can have their own decisions. But according to the Shiites, indeed, the people are not the ones that they have to play the role here. Rather, it is of those things that our Holy Prophet and Almighty Allah should determine, Almighty Allah should appoint the leader. And according to the Shiites' resources, this task has been done. This task has been performed by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. And on the event of the Ghadir Khum, this task was optimally performed by our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. On that event, our Almighty Allah reveals this verse of the Holy Quran that, Ya ayyuha Rasul, balligh ma unzila ilayka min rabbik, wa illam taf'al fama balaghta risalatah. O Messenger of Almighty Allah, so convey what have been revealed on you from Almighty Allah's side. And if you do not do, if you do not convey, if you do not announce this message, that now it has been revealed on you, it is as if you have not done your whole mission. وَإِلَّمْ تَفْعَلْ فَمَا بَلَّغْتَ رِسَالَتَهُ وَاللَّهُ يَعْصِمُكَ مِنَ النَّاسِ. And be sure that Almighty Allah would grant it, would ensure your safety. So, according to the Shiites, it has been done in different narrations, different quotations, different verse of the Holy Quran, prove this truth that leadership is not of the matter that the people should decide about it. At the time of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, the idolaters, some of the hypocrites, indeed, they were waiting for the period and for the moment that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should pass away and he has to go from this world. And then we will make some conspiracies to grant our own financial and materialistic interests. So they were waiting for this, that the Muslim Ummah should be briefed or divide of a unique leader, and then we are able to fulfill our own conspiracies. So it was their intention, it was their indeed hidden will, that Almighty Allah visualizes their will in the following verse of the Holy Quran. Almighty Allah says that أَمْ يَقُولُونَ شَاعِرٌ نَتَرَبَّصُ بِهِ رَيْبَ الْمَنُونَ قُلْ تَرَبَّصُوا فَإِنِّي مَعَكُمْ مِنَ الْمُتَرَبِّصِينَ أَمْ تَأْمُرُهُمْ أَحْلَامُهُمْ بِهَذَا أَمْ هُمْ قَوْمٌ طَاغُونَ. It means that, do they say, he is a point for whom we await a fatal accident? Say, wait, I too am waiting along with you. Is their intellect which prompts them to say this, or are they a rebellious lot? In this circumstance that all are waiting for a fatal accident for the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, so isn't it something irrational and illogical that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should be nonchalant towards the Muslim Ummah's future and aftermath? Our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, being extremely keen and sharp enough towards the Muslim Ummah's future, towards the Muslim Ummah's aftermath, how he can be indifferent towards this matter? How he can be indifferent towards this most significant issue that who has to lead and who has to be the pivotal point that all the Muslims should rotate around this pivotal point? Indeed, that is something that needs thinking, that needs pondering, that needs meditation, that needs contemplation. So when we say that it is a status that has to be proven by Almighty Allah, has to be declared by Almighty Allah, that who has to lead the Muslim Ummah, indeed there are some certain characteristics, there are some exclusive terms and conditions for this, that this man who is going to lead the Muslim Ummah, he has to have these characteristics, he has to meet these conditions. You know that though our imams are not the ones that they should receive the revelation, but in some of the important conditions and characteristics, they have common share with the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Of those conditions they share with the Holy Prophet, that is the matter of infallibility. That the one who describes the religious Islamic issues after the demise of our Holy Prophet, he has to be infallible. He has to be inerrant. Otherwise, if he commits errors, if he commits evils, then he is not the one who has to be trustworthy. He cannot be trusty of the people. The people cannot rely on him, for he commits errors, for he commits evils. You know that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, is an infallible figure and personality. And during his whole life, no one has seen him that he has to commit a single error or a minor sin. So the person who comes and sits or replaces the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household, he has to also be beautified with these characteristics, such as infallibility. Do you know that our Sunni brothers, they do not believe in the infallibility of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household? They believe that, yes, there are some minor sins that our Holy Prophet had committed. But indeed, and now this is not the time we have to talk about the detailed discussions and elaborations about infallibility of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, but I only recite three verses of the Holy Quran which proves and authenticates the infallibility of our Holy Prophet. The first is an absolute obedience of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. Ya ayyuhalladhina amanu ati'u Allah wa ati'u Rasul. So here it means that you have to obey Almighty Allah. The same is you have to obey the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. So here, obedience of Almighty Allah is tantamount to our Holy Prophet's obedience. In another verses, it is said, whosoever obeys the Holy Prophet, whosoever obeys the Messenger of Almighty Allah, it is as if he has obeyed our Almighty Allah. وَمَنْ يُطِعَ الرَّسُولَ فَقَدْ أَطَاعَ اللَّهُ. Whosoever obeys the Messenger of Almighty Allah, it is as if he is obeying Almighty Allah. Whosoever obeys the Messenger of God, it is the tantamount, it is equal or equivalent to the obedience of our Almighty Allah. And here there is no condition. Unconditionally, you have to obey the Prophet. If there is no condition, if there is not any condition that the obedience should be relevant to that condition, it means that the absolute obedience of our Holy Prophet is implying the infallibility. Otherwise, if he was sometimes committing errors, if he sometimes was committing mistakes, so our Holy Prophet had to be restricted, our Holy Prophet's obedience had to be limited on those times that he is doing the best actions, not absolute obedience. So here we understand that firstly, our Holy Prophet does not commit mistakes, he does not commit errors, even the minor sins, even the minor evils. And secondly, we believe that the one who comes and who describes the religious issues after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he should also be infallible. Where from we induce this infallibility, it needs a further sessions that we have to talk about. But abstractly talking, إِنَّمَا يُرِيدُ اللَّهُ لِيُذْهِبَ عَنْكُمُ الرِّجْسَ أَهْلَ الْبَيْتِ. This is the verse of the Holy Quran that stands on the infallibility of the Prophet in the household of him.
Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, Allah, ya Allah, 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 ya Allah, Allah.
This is the call of Islam, and you are listening to the program, The Life of Imam Ali.
So another verse which also proves the infallibility of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, that is these verses of the Holy Quran that say, وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. It means that he does not talk of his own desire. Rather, whatever he talks, whatever he speaks of, that is of Almighty Allah, that is of revelation, that is of divine inspiration. He is protected. He is granted. So if a person is granted that he does not commit errors, he does not commit evils, so do not we trust him entirely? Do not we trust him absolutely? Indeed we do. So even about the occasion that why these verses were revealed, it is said that a person or a companion of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was extremely interested in writing the words of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. He was writing whatever our Holy Prophet was producing, whatever our Holy Prophet was announcing. So some of the companions made him fun of. It means they laughed at him that you're writing the things that sometimes it is not worthy to be believed in. It is not something reliable. Why? For this that the Prophet is also a human. He is also having these various conditions of ours. He also sometimes commit errors. He sometimes get angry. He sometimes get irritated. So on those conditions, these words cannot be relied on. These words do not have the form and order of revelation. So why you are noting these words? Why you are noting the entire words and sentences of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him? So when they made fun of him, when they made some ridiculous jokes, and also seriously they were blaming him, he came near our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, crying. Our Holy Prophet said that, why you are crying? He said that, usually I was noting, I was writing whatever you have told for us. So now these companions complain, these companions blame me that you are writing some ridiculous things. Sometimes our Holy Prophet is not in a good mood. So he says something that tomorrow he may be remorseful of. Then our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, says that, do not be angry. Whatever I say, all of them are inspired by divine revelation. وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. These verses were revealed by Almighty Allah that وَمَا يَنْتِقُ عَنِ الْهَوَىٰ. He even does not speak of his own desire. إِنْ هُوَ إِلَّا وَحْيُّ يُوحَىٰ. Whatever I speak, all of them are of the truth, and all of them are having share from revelation. The next verse, which again proves the infallibility of the Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace upon him, is مَا أَتَاكُمُ الرَّسُولُ فَخُذُوهُ وَمَا نَهَاكُمْ عَنْ فَانْتَهُ. Whatever he brings for you, you have to take them. And whatever he forbids you from, you have to get rid of. You have to avoid from those forbidden things that Almighty Allah's Apostle Muhammad, peace upon him, forbids you from. So these verses substantiate and prove rationally, intellectually, logically, that our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was infallible. And the one who comes, the one who is going to be the successor to the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, he should also be infallible. Otherwise, there will be some sort of confusion in Islamic issues, in Islamic religious commands. Infallibility of the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, was proved by this verse of the Holy Quran, and there are also many verses that indicate this truth. But we are not going to drill from the topic. We are talking about the biography of our Holy Imam, Imam Ali alayhi salam. So We were talking about this, that some of the characteristics our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, had, our Imam should share those characteristics. But there are some exclusive characteristics of our Holy Prophet that none share him. For example, the revelation. So revelation is our being the pioneer of Islam. So this is not the characteristic that others should share him. Another characteristic that Imam should also have the same as our Holy Prophet had, this is the efficiency, that is the competence. Almighty Allah should choose the most efficient figure amongst the community for this prophetic mission. It means Prophet should be the most efficient one, for he is going to shoulder, for he is going to undertake the heaviest responsibility. So he has to have the capacity, he has to have this veracity and ability to undertake and to shoulder this heavy burden and this heavy load. So after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, our Holy Prophet has to choose the most efficient one for his religion in order to play the vital part of being a complementary. You know that Imam is the complementary for the religious codes. So he has to be the most efficient, he has to be the most knowledgeable one. He cannot rely on each the head of this and that. He cannot trust on the struggles made by different companions of him or by different ones who are living in his surroundings. Rather, he himself should be having this keen discernment, this keen and sharp mind, to deduce and induce the Islamic jurisprudential issues from the sources and from those narrations and quotations from the verses of the Holy Quran. So this is not something a typical and normal issue that we have to put on everyone, on typical ones. No. Since our Holy Prophet should be the most efficient one for receiving revelation, the Imam should also be the most efficient and knowledgeable one, for he plays the vital part of being a complementary figure amongst the people after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. So this was the second condition for the Imam who is going to be appointed for the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. The third is this, that prophecy and prophetic mission was a divine determination. It is Almighty Allah's will that wherever he puts revelation, wherever he chooses, or whenever, or wherever he reveals. That is said, Allah a'lamu haythu yaj'alu risalata. Almighty Allah is the most well aware wherever he has to put his prophetic mission. So abstractly talking, it is not the matter that to be chosen by the people, as I said, that the people cannot have any role in choosing their prophets. The same case can be applied for the Imam, for they cannot have any selection, for they cannot have votes or ballots that to choose and select their prophets and their Imams. So the Imams and the leader for the Muslim Ummah after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, should be determined by Almighty Allah, for he is well aware of the infallibility, for he is fully aware of the one who chooses. For he is well aware of the one who acquires these important characteristics such as inerrancy. So due to these reasons, the Shi'as are in disbelief. They maintain that the leader should be chosen by Almighty Allah and it should be declared by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. While these conditions are not put into consideration or not taken into account by the Sunni Muslim scholars, they believe that Khilafat or successorship to the Prophet is an ordinary and typical position. It can be taken by everyone. But it is the condition that the Muslim should come to this conclusion that he has to be the leader. And there is no need of infallibility. There is no need of justice. There is no need of sufficient and enough knowledge. There is no need that he has to be chosen by Almighty Allah. There is no need that he has to be beautified with these characteristics. Since the Shi'as have this belief that this is the most significant task and it has to be chosen by Almighty Allah, it cannot be put into selections of the people or by the ballots or votes of the people. Rather, it should be chosen by Almighty Allah, and it has to be declared by the Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And historically, it was done by different narrations, by different quotations. It can be proved that this task has been done by the Prophet. As we have told this in the previous sessions, that one of the authentic narrations that we can rely on the matter of this, that the leader had been chosen on the first days of the prophetic mission, it is the Hadith Yawmuddar. That says, Imam Ali alayhi salam says that our Holy Prophet stood and addressed his close relatives and said, فَأَيُّكُمْ يُوَازِرُونِي عَلَى هَذَا الْأَمْرُ عَلَى أَيَّكُونَ أَخِي وَوَصِّيِّ وَخَلِيفَتِي فِيكَ. Then no one gave the positive response except me. فَقُلْتُ أَنَا يَا نَبِيَ اللَّهُ أَكُونُ وَزِيرَكَ عَلَيْهِ. Then he said that I stood and said that by God I am going to be your fazir and administer. So, respectable audience, till here we talked about those reasons on which the Shi'a scholars based their approach about the divine determination of the leader after the demise of our Holy Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, in his household. Thank you very much. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
نهو الخير ولا نهو الشر نهو الخير ولا نهو الشر العقل بحبك يأمرنا والدين بحبك قد آمر العقل بحبك يأمرنا والدين بحبك قد آمر والدين بحبك قد آمر سودت صحيفة أعمالي ووكلت الأمر إلى حيدر سودت صحيفة أعمالي ووكلت الأمر إلى حيدر هو كفي منه وبالدنيا وشفيعي في يوم المحشر هو كفي منه وبالدنيا وشفيعي في يوم المحشر قد تمت لي بولايته نعم جمت عن أن تشكر قد تمت لي بولايته نعم جمت عن أن تشكر لأصيب بها الحظ الأوفى وأخصص بالسهم الأوفر لأصيب بها الحظ الأوفى وأخصص بالسهم الأوفر بالحفظ من النار الكبرى والأمن من الفزع الأكبر بالحفظ من النار الكبرى والأمن من الفزع الأكبر هل يمنعني وهو الساقي أن أشرب من حوض الكوثر هل يمنعني وهو الساقي أن أشرب من حوض الكوثر أم يطردني عن مائدة وضعت للقانع والمعتر أم يطردني عن مائدة وضعت للقانع والمعتر مولاي علي مولاي.